tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
What's good, everybody, my beautiful people out there? Hello and welcome inside the Black Actors Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce. It's Thursday. We in here. And today I got a very special episode for y'all. I got the one and only award-winning director. He is an acting coach here in Hollywood, a mentor to many. Please welcome Choice Skinner.
Hey. What's goodie out there? Hope everybody's doing well. How you doing, Danny? What's good with you?
I'm good. I'm in here. You know, we got this heat, you know, and the corona going around, but I'm good. You know, I hope everybody's out there being safe, staying in, being healthy. We got a very special show today. I invited Choice here again inside the studio, this time virtually, but he was a guest earlier in this season. So we're going to go through our top 20 best Black films of all time. Yeah. I know, that's a lot. it took me a while and Choice a while, you know, to kind of configure this list. We got so many great movies out there. So just to let you all know who's watching, I'm in the chat right now. So go ahead and hit us up with any comments or anything like that. I'll be keeping a lookout throughout the show. And these are our picks, okay? And this is not based on anyone else, okay? This is our picks, what we love to watch, what inspired us, motivated us, and what will impact us for years to come. So keep that in mind. First, I want to start off, welcome again, Choice, and we want to talk a little bit about, speaking of Black films, Henry's Courage. So can you just tell everyone about that project and how we can help?
Yeah, you know, Henry's Courage is a short film about the 369th Regiment of the Harlem Hellfighters. We'll be focusing on the life of Henry Johnson, who was one of the soldiers that went over in 1917 during World War I, and who he's also a Medal of Honor winner and recipient. And he fought overnight, him and another soldier in a trench, and defended himself against several krauts, or as they call it, German soldiers who was crossing the line and coming into the barrier and the area where they were at. I decided I wanted to do a short film based on his life and based on the contributions that Black American men and soldiers gave during World War I. We have never seen anything like that. I mean, there are films where they talk a little bit about it, maybe they'll address it somewhat, but they never really get too much focus on it. So that's the objective with that. And right now, I think we're in our last 2 days of doing an online fundraiser. So if you can contribute, if you have the means, you know, that's great. But if not, then, you know, I understand that. But, you know, we still plan on doing it once the coronavirus situation and everything is lifted and we're able to get out there and start working again.
Right. For sure. And it's a great story that needs to be told. So if you if you're able to, please go ahead and help us create that story, make it real, make it happen.
Henry's Courage on Seed and Spark.
And we'll make sure to put the link down at the in this video at the end of the interview. So Choice, I know you got a lot to say about it. What's one of the big differences, in your opinion, from Black film in the past to now?
Well, I think part of the problem is that when you hear a lot of filmmakers nowadays, these younger filmmakers, the millennials and the people that are making films now, they tend to not want to be labeled Black film. And I think that's an issue. I think, you know, we're still young as a culture, the Black American culture. And there are so many stories that we still need to tell. You know, you always hear people say, well, we're not a monolith, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, okay, when you look at the 90s and the 80s and some of these films that we're talking about, they were either made independently, people took chances on them, they struggled for many, many, many years to get them off the ground. And I think between that and the stories and the level of talent, because, you know, unfortunately, we have an influx of British talent, Black British talent, who, and I'll never stop talking about that, who they can't, they can't connect with what we've been through as a culture. So right. the performances are usually off, in my opinion. They're not as deep as when you look back in the 90s and the 80s, when we had our little renaissance of Black Americans actually getting the chance to not only be in films, but direct films and right. write films and star in them and stuff like that. And so right. we don't really have that happening now.
What do you think, what comes to mind when you hear Black film? Like, what is that to you?
Something that connects with the Black American experience. Something that tells our subject matter, that tells our, you know, whether it's a thing of family or whether it's a thing of this character has gone through that. To me, a Black film or a film that has Black people in it that's telling the Black story, it's a right. thing of something that I'm going to be able to relate with. So if I'm paying my money, I know that at the end of it, I want to buy the Blu-ray and I want to watch it over and over and over again because right. it impacted me like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Black film, all right, I want to get into our list. So keep in mind, people who are watching, so this list is not like, you know, number one is the best of all time. We're not doing that. Okay, this is just our 20 picks. So they're all amazing films. They all impacted us in some way, shape, or form. And I want to start off by number 20, and then we're going to count down, okay? So, top pick number 20 for me, Harlem Nights. I mean, you can't go wrong with this film on, it's got to be on the list. It is one of the biggest and the most impactful comedies in Black history, in my opinion. You got, you know, Eddie Murphy, Della Reese, Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Charlie Murphy. I mean, it just, oh my God, it's hilarious. It's something I can really watch over and over again. I don't get sick of it, especially Della Reese and Eddie Murphy scene in the kitchen. Left to swallow, aren't you? Like, there's so many phrases and quotes you can pick up from that movie and just continue to go on and on. For those of you who haven't seen it, Harlem Nights is a crime comedy drama starring Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor as Sugar Ray and Quick. He adopts Quick, and pretty much it's in the era of bootlegging and all that prohibition and all that stuff, and they really come up on top. Go check it out, because it's hilarious. You like that choice?
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic film. It's one that I've actually had go up in the acting studio. It's about five or six people in the scene, but it's gone up several times. Shout out to Joan Moton, because she's played the Della Reese part. you can't go wrong with that movie. I mean, you have the greatest comedians of all time in it. You know, God rest right. Robin Harris's soul, Richard Pryor. I mean, everybody in it, you know, you can't go wrong. So it is a great film. It is a great film.
All right, we agree on that one. Okay. So yeah. Here we go. Choice number 19. Let's go.
19, I'm going to say, let's get it out the way. You know, we're still grieving him and he's still gone, but I'm going to say Purple Rain. With Prince. I watched that film maybe 8 times in the theater, and I remember being in the theater when it came out. It came out in, let me look at my notes here, 1984, and it starred Prince, Apollonia Cotero, Morris Day, and Clarence Williams III. He was like the ultimate abusive father husband in that movie. You can't go wrong with it. It was the beginning of the soundtrack era.
Right.
It affected us in so many ways, where even if you wasn't a Prince fan, it was a film that I remember a lot of guys taking girls out on dates. You know, they would take them to see Purple Rain. You know, it was a given. You know what I'm saying? Some of the worst acting ever. Yeah. Other than Clarence Williams III. But I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with, you know, some of the classic lines from Morris Day and the classic lines from Prince. I mean, I think, you know, even the new generation is finding out about that film, and it's just good, cheesy fun. So to me, it's definitely one of my favorite films of all time.
Yeah, and I saw that one coming for sure. So I was a huge fan of Prince. It's definitely a classic. It still gets talked about. I mean, Purple Rain, there's been drinks, there's been all types of stuff named after it. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we go at number 18 on the list, okay? So I had to throw this one in here, okay? This revolutionized, a revolutionized superhero film, okay? Especially Black superhero film. I know there was a lot before it, but this one really just really picked up a lot of the pieces where other places left off. And it also made a lot of people, especially millennials, be proud to be Black again, you know? And so that's the reason why I put this on this list. Number 18, you got it, Black Panther. Starring Ryan Coogler, directed, produced, starring Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan. It grossed $1.3 billion at the box office. Incredible. It was just nice seeing a lot of Black people kick ass on screen without being a thug, without being, you know, nook, shook, pookie. You know, it was just really refreshing. And then seeing a Marvel film like that with all this color on the screen, behind the screen, I think it was revolutionary.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I remember when I went to the theater to see it, before I had saw it, a lot of people were telling me, man, that movie's really, really good. And that goes back to what you were saying about the difference between films back in the day and films of now. You know, I always firmly believe, even when I'm coaching actors, that people have got to feel something. They got to feel something, you know? And I think there's just too much of people pushing agendas now rather than pushing a story or pushing great acting. And so I remember watching it. You know, I own it on Blu-ray, and I'll probably watch it tonight since we're talking about it. But, you know, it's one of those films where when you're watching it, there's a pride. There's a pride because you see Black people in a different light than you normally see in some of these other films. I don't mind the drug stories now. I like the drug stories.
I like the drug stories, but they're getting kind of old. That's what I'm saying.
I can't keep seeing Black people kill Black people and getting ripped. It's too old. It's too old.
Right, exactly. So we're at number 17.
Ooh, man, we're moving along. Okay. Let me see what I'm going to throw. I'm going to go ahead and throw out Soul Food. Soul Food out there. You know, that was another film that I went several times to the theater to watch. And I remember watching it and just seeing it. And it starred, let me see my notes here. Danny's a little quicker than I am when it comes to notes. let's see, Soul Food, I got it here. Starred Vanessa Williams, Vivica Fox, Nia Long, Michael Beach, Mekhi Phifer, and Irma P. Hall. That was in 2000, if I'm correct. No, 1997. Wow, man, time is flying. Such a good film. Wow. So, and there it goes again with the soundtrack. Soundtrack, bomb.
Unbelievable bomb. Soundtrack, yeah.
Unbelievable. Casey and just so many different, you know, Missy Elliott and so many different people on that soundtrack. It was just awesome. And it was another thing of it related with who we are as a people, as Black people, understanding what soul food is and how as a family we have to work along with each other no matter what. Just a damn good film. Memorable.
Yeah. Classic. It's a classic. I mean, I remember when I first saw it, I was seven when it came out. So I was like, this is amazing. You know, it was like Sunday meals every weekend, you know, you got the family coming around. Then you also, I loved how they, you know, played the drama in there because there's always family drama, you know what I'm saying? But then when it comes to the table, Big Mama's like, all right, everybody, leave the drama and eat. You know, that's what it's about. Yeah.
So many memorable scenes.
What's one of your favorite scenes from that movie?
Definitely Vanessa Williams with the knife. you know, because that's that drama where there's stuff going on at the table and people don't
know
what's happening, and it's like, man, you know.
Yeah, that's so true. All right, well, we're on number 16. All right, we're cruising along here, and. Folks, what's up, Kendra? I see you in there, in the chat room. Be sure, everybody, we are here in the chat room. Be sure to go ahead and leave any comments, anything, your questions, anything like that. Also, a big shout out to Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro for allowing me to bring these amazing guests in week out and sharing their stories, giving you top 20 Black films. we in here. Thank you so much. Also, if you want to binge the first season, the entire first season of Inside the Black Act Studio, you can do so at www.theonchannel.com. If you're a subscriber, you can sign up. Just get the whole season one there. But we're back. We're here doing top 20 black films of all time. I'm here with Troy Skinner. We're on number 16. Ready? Malcolm X. I gotta put it in there. Malcolm X, for obvious reasons. But I mean, I was a huge fan of Denzel. Okay, it also had, you know, Angela Bassett. I don't know why I say Angelina. Angela Bassett, Delroy Lindo, you know, Spike Lee was in there. And I think it was one of the best stories that was told about a notable black figure. I think, you know, there was, you know, after that, Selma, you know, a lot of MLK ones, but I feel like Malcolm X was just very gritty. And maybe it's because, you know, Spike Lee helped tell it, but it was very, like, gritty, down to earth. It was non-documentary. It was amazing, in my opinion. A lot of great moments. Denzel did a lot of improv when he was giving his speeches. He just was feeling it and just felt like this is what Malcolm X would say. I think that was amazing how they left a lot of that in the film and the end cut. And just overall, I think it was a great movie and impact a lot of people to understand Malcolm X. A lot of people just thought he was just like going around, you know, beating up people pretty much, you know what I mean? So it brought a lot of light to like, oh, okay, this is the man behind the X.
Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, Angela Bassett, I remember those 2 years, she was in our face all the time. And she played Betty Shabazz and she was phenomenal in that role. You know, that's one of those films where it wouldn't have got made had it not been for people like, you know, Oprah Winfrey. And I think Bill Cosby even put some money in to
help. Yeah, I think,
you know, Spike had to go to the people he knew. So that's the point that I'm making, that, you know, a lot of times the independent films will tell our stories better than us waiting on Paramount or 20th Century Fox to give us a budget to make something like this. And I don't think people that are listening now know that, you know, that movie, if I'm correct, was on 3 or 4 VHSs.
Yeah.
It was on 3 or 4 VHSs that you had to play because it was so long. It was so long. There were so many topics that they went over in that film.
Right. It's 3 hours and 22 minutes, made in 1992. Yeah. So yeah, it was a long time to see to see that on the screen. It's like Titanic version.
All right,
we're at number 15.
15, okay, all right. I'm going to put out there the 5 heartbeats. The 5 heartbeats.
All right, let's go.
You know, let's see, 5 heartbeats, get my notes here. It was Robert Townsend, Leon Robinson, Michael Wright, Tito Wells, Harry Lennox. And that was in 1991. And that was a sleeper hit movie. Robert Townsend directed it. I remember watching the ad and the trailer, and I wasn't very interested until somebody told me, yo, you got to go see the 5 heartbeats. And I did. And I was just like, oh man, this movie's so good. And I was doing my best to let everybody know, yo, you got to see 5 heartbeats. You got to see the 5 heartbeats. Just, you know, when it comes to the black culture, music, especially during the Motown era, all the different musicians in our life, it's part of our diary. It's part of the stories that we tell. And to see what Robert Townsend did about how these artists and these groups went through certain things to give us the music that they gave us, because that was like the correlation, you know, it was like, right. This is not a true story, but we use stories from other people who went through these things to tell this story. It was so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
You know, after 7 did the main track Nights Like This, it was so good, man. So many good scenes in that movie, man.
I know it's great. Like, as we're talking, I'm just walking down memory lane. Like, it's amazing. But I remember the first time I did see this, it was my mom. And I was like, okay, like, what group was this? Was there a 5RB group? And so she was like, no, it's modeled off of, blah. I was like, oh, okay. And, but it was amazing. Leon Robinson, like, he was in our face all, like, throughout that, those years. You know, David Ruffin in The Temptations, he played Little Richard. Like, he was just, he was everywhere.
that was his stitch at that time. That was his stitch, you know. That was,
right, for sure.
That was the thing. But, I mean, we got to give a special shout out to Michael Wright because he was he was Eddie Kane, you know. Just an amazing film, amazing performances.
Yeah, I agree. And so we're on number 14 now. Okay, so 14, I'm gonna choose, all right, this, I was kind of hesitant, I'm like, do I put it in or not? Another Spike Lee film, okay, that I have a lot of connection with, Do the Right Thing, okay? So I actually played Bugging Out in a play, in a theatrical form of Do the Right Thing when I was younger. So this holds a lot of dear. So I was like, okay, I got to put this in. But, you know, it was made in 1989. it's got Spike Lee, Giancarlo Esposito, which is one of the most underrated Black actors, in my opinion. Ruby Dee, Ossie Davis. And it was a symbol of hate and racism. Like, it was just, you know how Spike does, but like, it was, and I think it was one of, like, a first of its kind, and in that aspect, and it got me to see a lot of different things where it brought a lot of issues to light. I like when films make you think. I like when there's, you know, underlining messages and all that, you know. Danny Aiello, he did amazing as an Italian owner, as Sal, you know, and it was a little goofy, you know. I had goofy moments and all that stuff, but I think for me, the biggest thing was just the message, and that's why I had to put it on this list.
I mean, you know, fight the power with, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
With, you know,
fight the power.
You know what I mean? You know, I grew up in New York, and so there were so many things in there that were so real and so so connective to me, you know what I mean? And last year was the anniversary of that film. The big ass anniversary of that film, and they did a street party or whatever in memorial of it and stuff. God rest Bill Nunn, he's no longer with us. You know, he was and you know, Public Enemy with the title track, you know what I'm saying?
Public Enemy,
So there was a lot about that film that, you know, I think still to this day resonates. I mean, look how timeless that is, that we're still dealing with a lot of those same issues.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And we are on number 13. What you got, Joy?
Okay. I'm saving all the good stuff last. So I'm going to talk a lot of this stuff, but I'm going to say The Best Man. Best Man. Let me find my notes here. The Best Man, The Best Man. My notes are up here. The Best Man. Uh-oh, wait a minute.
Taye Diggs.
We have Taye Diggs. We have Nia Long. We have Harold Perrineau. See, I know I can come off the cuff with it. Harold Perrineau. Morris Chestnut. And a whole bunch. Oh, yeah, can't forget.
Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard. Now, I had been following Terrence Howard for years, right? I watched him in Mr. Holland's Opus and stuff, and I was like, yo, this guy, he's really, really good. And this was a time when actors had to earn their place. Like, it wasn't like you came out and you hot. Nowadays, you see that a lot. A lot of people are constructed. They're created entities. Back in those days, man, you really had to work. And I remember I said, this is a guy, he's a star. This guy is a star. And
right.
And when he was in that film, he took it. He took it and he made everybody else rise to the next level. And I was like, yo, every time he was on the screen, he was murdering it. And
yeah.
He was bringing so much life to it. It's such a good film. Again, talking about the different experiences that we've been through as Black people. There was so much in it. You know, I think it was actually one of the first films dealing, you know, with the wedding. You know,
right? Yeah.
And how our weddings go and what happens and the different things and stuff. That was really, really good. I want to be fair and make sure I get everything together on that. The best man. I know I had my notes on it, but
yeah, I really. Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. And when I saw that was on your list, I was like, yep. well deserved. It deserves its place on this list for sure.
1999.
Yeah, I remember watching it with my brothers and stuff all the time. We're like, is that how our wedding's gonna be like? And the cast is amazing.
Yeah.
The amazing cast. So we're on number 12, okay? So let's move along here. Number 12, I put this on the list. It was the first of its kind. I am very, it's very funny, very goofy, and we talk about it still to this day, Bebe's Kids.
I'm gonna let you do that
one. I had to put it on there. I had to get some respect because, I mean, come on. It's a classic, first off, made in 92. All right. Robin Harris is one of his long-going stints on stand-up comedy. Always talking about Bebe's Kids. They got them together, made this bomb cast, and they went for it. They hit the box office at $8.4 million. And my boy, Bruce W. Smith, which I had on earlier in this season, Bruce W. Smith, he was one of the main animators of this film. A lot of people were skeptical of how it was going to go, all that stuff, right? Because it was too black for film. That's what they told him. Went on to be successful, be amazing. And also from that gave the birth of Proud Family and other things like that that made it possible to bring these black families and these black characters to the animation. And so that's why I was like, I had to give respect and put it on this list because it is definitely the grandfather of a lot of animation that I love. So there you go, Bebe's Kids, let's go.
Hey, I got nothing on that one.
You say you got it.
I got nothing, hey, you know, hey. All right.
We're at number 11.
All right, number 11. Training Day, baby.
Yeah.
Training Day. Of course, you got Denzel Washington, Ethan Hawke,
yeah.
Scott Glenn, Eva Mendez, Snoop Dogg, and Macy Gray, who I still to this day love her performance with her talking about something. Let me see that warrant. Let me see that warrant.
Right.
That ain't a warrant, you know. there's not too much I can say. I mean, there's a lot I can say, but I don't want to waste too much time. That was during 9/11.
Yeah.
It came out that Friday, and you know, 9/11 happened that week, and I never forget being in the theater, being one of maybe three people watching it, and knowing that Denzel was going to win an Oscar. I knew
Crazy.
It. I knew it because I had got a call from one of my acting students, and he was like, "Denzel shines in this," and I was like, "What?" You know what I'm saying? And to see all those years of him playing the leading guy who is the hero, who is the upstanding man, and then to really, really flex his muscles as an artist, as a you know, a true auteur, and
right.
play Alonzo, unreal, man. And
yeah.
even Ethan Hawke. So we got to remember, Ethan got nominated as well. He didn't get it that year, but Denzel got it. And then Ethan was nominated for, you know, supporting. And after that, Ethan Hawke's career went to another level as well. You know, so definitely one of my favorite films of all time. I own it on DVD, VHS, and Blu-ray.
You got on everything. Got on your phone too. No. Yeah, that was an incredible performance. Not gonna lie, King Kong ain't got on me. Never gonna forget that. Number 11. Okay, so we're on number 10 right now. I chose this film because I would watch this film nonstop. Honestly, it was so inspiring and motivating to me on another level. I love this actor. And that film is Lean On Me.
Yeah.
All right. Lean On Me. Incredible soundtrack, by the way, too. So starring, you know, Morgan Freeman, loosely based on the story of Joe Louis Clark. which back in like in the high school in New Jersey, he had left earlier in the 70s. He returned back later in the late 80s, early 90s to find that it was the high school had totally changed. It was gang violence, drug abuse, all this stuff. He literally, with the help of his staff, cleaned up the entire high school, threw everyone out, and really raised the scores and all that stuff, the testing scores, and brought that high school back to its feet. And so for that, it touched me because I just saw a black man on screen just really turn something that was horrible into something great. And it made me just like in awe. So I really love this film. It will always be here. Got on DVD and I will always probably watch it at least for a few times a year. Yeah. It was made in 1989. If you haven't seen Lean on Me, starring Morgan Freeman, check it out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we need more Joe's, you know, we need yeah. more people like him.
Yes.
We need more, you know, we need more people like him, unfortunately, because it's like what's going on in schools nowadays and with children, we need more of that. So yeah, definitely one of my favorite films of all time, you know.
For sure. We're number 9.
Oh, that's on me. Okay, let's do New Jack City.
New Jack City.
New Jack City.
Come on.
March 1991. Never forget it. That was a great year because that was the year that another great film on our list came out as well. The 90s was an amazing year.
For film.
Yeah, absolutely. And I never forget, you know, going to the movies and watching New Jack City over and over and over again, and then watching it even on bootleg over and over and over again. And again, there's the soundtrack thing. New Jack City, Wesley Snipes, Ice-T, Alan Payne, Chris Rock, Judd Nelson, and Mario Van Peebles. Just incredible. Michelle, I never know what she's normally going by, but, and Vanessa Williams, not the Vanessa Williams beauty queen, but the other Vanessa Williams.
Yeah,
who actually, I think she said we've been saying her name wrong. I don't know, I gotta look at that again, but
really?
New Jack City was just such a good movie. So many classic, it started the gang movie for black people. Whereas the archetype of it is based on the Italian mobsters, it started it for us. An amazing film. Nothing else to say about it. Hopefully they don't do a sequel and leave it alone.
Right, yeah, no sequel. Yeah, seeing Wesley Snipes in that aspect, we ain't gonna, I don't think we're gonna see that again. All right, so we're on number 8. So we're gonna move fastly here to our last top 5. So number 8, I'm gonna choose Jackson 5, American Dream. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. All right, this was one of the most, I think this is one of the best portrayals of his life. It was made in 92, and it was starring Angela Bassett. It was amazing. Even Jermaine Jackson was in it. Jason Weaver played Michael Jackson, and it was literally just about his life. I just felt like I needed to put it on here just because same thing with you with Purple Rain. Incredible soundtrack, incredible person, incredible journey. We saw him on a whole different level. Yeah. That's all I can say.
It was a great film. And there's another one with Angela Bassett, you know, that shows you who she is to us. We moving on?
Yes.
Okay. 7. All right. Okay, so let's do, save some of these best for the last. Let's do Jungle Fever. Let's get Jungle Fever out the way. Flipper. You know, we talk about Flipper. We talk about Samuel Jackson, who was on his height at that time. He was really coming into his own. We have Ruby Dee, Ozzie Davis. We have Spike Lee. We have Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes is in that. And that was 1991. There's another 1991 film. You see what I'm saying? That was an amazing year for us. As a culture, we had all these great films on screen. You had Annabella Sciorra, you had Lynette McKee, she was awesome in that. And John Turturro, who was a Spike Lee favorite. Halle Berry was amazing playing a crackhead in that.
Yeah.
Which is a scene that I put up a lot in the acting studio. And it was just a great film over and all. It showed a lot about racism. There were some truths that I think was hard for people to digest, but those truths even stand, even the test of time today, is still going on.
Oh, yeah.
Interracial relationships and how, as a society, we deal with it. Good film, really good film. Lots of classic scenes.
I agree, totally agree on that one. And we're at number six. I'm gonna have to say Friday. All right, we got that. Now, you know, that speaks a little of my age, you know, but Friday is an amazing film starring, of course, Ice Cube and Chris Tucker, okay? Amazing film, hilarious. We got a lot of our sayings from there anyway, by Felicia, like, oh, so many things. I mean, it was very simple. The budget was very low, but just the amount of impact it had, and still years to come, like, we all still watching Friday, next Friday, all that stuff. So yeah, I thought it was hilarious. Chris Tucker did a hilarious job being Smokey. I mean, that's all I can say. People, you know Friday. Everybody knows Friday.
Yeah,
like, we are down to our top five.
That was another film that had a great soundtrack as well. Friday had a great
soundtrack. Yeah, definitely had an amazing soundtrack. Yeah. That was back in the 90s as well, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So, let's say we're on music. Let's talk about What's Love Got to Do with It.
Definitely. Let's talk about it.
And the odd thing about it is you can't find it on Blu-ray. So, that's really sad. They need to fix that. I don't know what's up with Touchstone or whoever's the main company behind it, but I need to have that on Blu-ray. You know what I'm saying? So we can make some things happen because it's classic. I would love to.
We gotta have that.
Again, that's Angela Bassett. Notice she's constantly reappearing on this list. We had Candy Alexander, Lawrence Fishburne, obviously, who was amazing, Jennifer Lewis. Both Lawrence and Angela were nominated for an Oscar. Both of them should have won. Neither one of them won, but it's all good. I know their day will come. That's why I don't give too much credence to Oscar acclaim, because it's like they don't get it right. Classic film, amazing, awesome. God bless everybody that was part of it. Thank you, God, for giving us this film through these amazing artists, because it's going to stand the test of time. I get all my girls to work on several scenes from that film.
Yeah, incredible film. I can watch that a lot. I mean, there are obviously a lot of hard scenes to watch, but I mean, overall, it's a beautiful film. So we're number four, okay? And number four, I'm going to say Set It Off. Yeah. I gotta throw my girls in there. I gotta throw Set It Off in there. Starring Jada Pinkett Smith, Vivica A. Fox, Queen Latifah, Kimberly Elise. Like, this movie was amazing. It was amazing soundtrack as well. Yeah, Chaka Khan on there, you know, Gladys Knight. It was just overall amazing. 1996, crime, action, heist, you know, directed by Gary Gary, and it was a really, really good film. I can't say enough about how, you know, it showed a family outside of family, you know what I mean? And what they're willing to do, the lengths they were willing to go to get what they want and help each other. Queen Latifah did amazing. she was hilarious, she was hard. And you know, I think this film like really lifted a lot of their careers, honestly.
Yeah, it's a first of its kind, classic film, never be replicated or duplicated. You know, first of its kind, that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on. So,
moving on, let's go.
Here we go. Let's do Boys in the Hood. Boys in the Hood. And I'm from the East Coast, man, and I went and saw that movie several times. Directed by John Singleton. God rest his soul. He was nominated for Best Film and Best Director and Best Screenplay, and didn't win. It was such a disrespect. He should have got it, at least one of them, not both. It starred Cuba Gooding Jr., Angela Bassett, again, there we go, Lawrence Fishburne, Ice Cube, Morris Chestnut, and Nia Long. It came out in 1991. What an amazing year! 1991 is another one. Maybe next year will be it. You know, an amazing film, one of the classics. I got it on DVD and Blu-ray. I watch it continuously. They just had a reunion. Pick it up if you've never seen it. Watch it. It'll change your life. It'll give you a whole bunch of different perspective to understand. That is a story that resonates and is universal, but we understand it more than anything. Shout out to the West Side.
Right. So many memorable quotes and stuff on there too, you know? So many memorable quotes. A great cast as well. Gotta see. Yeah. Boys in the Hood. All right, we're on our last two, guys. Last two, we're here. All right, I'm gonna throw out, we're making a sequel this year. Possibly, I don't know what the virus is going on. Coming to America. Iconic, classic film, rom-com, starring, of course, Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones. I mean, the list goes on. It's such an amazing cast. You got John Amos. you know, Prince Joaquin comes to America to find his queen. And it's just so funny.
Like, Samuel Jackson. There's so many. Yeah.
What's that?
Samuel Jackson was in it.
Samuel Jackson, yeah. Samuel Jackson, yeah. Can't forget Samuel Jackson. There's so many memorable scenes, hilarious. I'm excited, and I'm not so excited about the sequel. I don't know, because it could really damage, you know, some feelings I have. Yeah. It was one of those films I just wanted you to leave alone, but we'll see. It might be dope. We'll see. But yeah, had to put Coming to America on here. It will live in infamy.
Absolutely. Can't watch it enough. All right, so we're doing the last one.
Last one.
We'll say it together. One, two, three.
Color Purple.
That's it. Color Purple. A Black Southern woman struggles to find her identity after suffering abuse from her father and others over four decades. 1985. Now, it says 1986, but I distinctly remember it hitting theaters in 1985.
Maybe, oh, wow. 1986
is when it came out in VHS. But Danny Glover, Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah Winfrey, Margaret Avery, Adolph Caesar, Radon Chong, and Lawrence Fishburne, and a whole slew of other people. Directed by Steven Spielberg. Whoopi Goldberg was nominated, didn't win. That's another disrespect. She should have gotten that without any problem. He should have been nominated as director. They just had, 30 years of Color Purple. It hit the theater just a couple of months ago. And it's such a film. You know, people always talk about the fact that it's one of those things where they make Black people look bad, Black men in particular, because it's a feminist type of film. I never had an issue with that. I mean, I do know that in our culture. And this is why movies like this need to be made, you know, because it exposes the things that our culture deals with. And so the performances were phenomenal. Visuals were stunning. This is a film. And when I talk about feeling something, that if you put this on don't feel something, you are a zombie. You have no life as a human being.
You have no soul.
No soul, because this film makes you go through the gamut of emotions, which is what film is all about. It's not so much about this, you know, being political or pushing an agenda. Is about making people relate. And that's what I always tell actors. If you can get people to relate, you got them. This film, even though it's a female story, it's a woman's tale, as a man, I felt every part of it. And so Steven Spielberg, my hat off to you and the cast and crew. This was Oprah Winfrey's first role and she smashed it. There are so many dialogue pieces in this that have transcended time. Even Tyler Perry is always working to replicate it somehow.
Right. I agree. And it will live in infamy, The Color Purple, always. So I can't watch that enough. But that's our time. And I thank you so much for joining me, Choice. Listen to our top 20 Black films of all time. Thank you all that was watching and commenting in the comment area. We got it. We love you. I see Temptations and American Gangsters on here. She's Gotta Have It. So all great films. Didn't quite make our list, but it's okay.
I mean, there's only
go ahead and there's a lot. But Choice, go ahead and tell everyone where to find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at darkan2000 or Twitter at darkanent, and also on Facebook at Breaking Through Acting Workshop.
All right, folks. I hope you enjoyed today. Be safe. Stay healthy out there. You can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. We'll see you next week. Same place, same time, inside the Black Actors Studio.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.